verse 3. Reading first from Psalm 91, let us hear God's word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, so they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then reading from Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And God spake all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you have fed us with the bread of the earth this very day. And we thank you. But Heavenly Father, we hunger for the manna of heaven. We hunger for your word. We ask that now you would feed us with your word. That you would open up our eyes that we may see the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Ladders have a variety of rungs. Some ladders may have 6, some may have 8, some super ladders may have even more. But there's one thing that they all have in common, and that is they all have one rung to begin. The Ten Commandments are kind of like a ladder. We go from 1 to 2 to 3 all the way to 10. But if you can't scale the bottom rung on a ladder, you certainly can't go up to the second, third, or fourth one. And so it is with the Ten Commandments. If you cannot obey the first Ten Commandment, the first of the Ten Commandments, then there's no way that you're going to be able to obey commandment number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As we begin to look at each commandment, what I want to stress to you is what our Lord and Savior has done for us. We cannot even reach the first rung of this spiritual ladder without sinning. Yet Christ kept these commandments perfectly. He never failed. He never sinned. And He did it to earn a righteousness for you. But what does it mean then here in this first commandment? What does it mean when we are told, you shall have no other gods before me? Well, the first thing that it means is you've got to know who God is. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I know whom I have believed. And he writes to the Corinthians in saying, I resolve to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. God the Father and God the Son, they send the Holy Spirit. And one of the chief activities of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you, to give you eyes to see and a mind to understand the Scriptures so that you will know who God is. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah says, I will put my spirit in them and give them a heart to know me. You have been given a heart in order to know who God is. Joshua tells the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But how can you choose for the Lord if you do not know who He is? We must always choose for Him. We must always choose to love Him and obey Him. But how can we choose to love and obey Him if we do not know about Him? Before anyone gets married, before they choose a spouse, they have some knowledge of that potential spouse, of that wife or that husband. Well, in the same way, if you were going to take Christ as your bridegroom, you must have some knowledge of Him. How is He revealed in the Scriptures? Paul, writing to the Romans, says, how can anyone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unless they first hear about Jesus Christ? There has to be content. Words must describe who He is, what He has done. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were courageous because they knew their God. They said, the God we serve is able to save us from your hand. See, they had knowledge about God, what He had power to do. They knew God as He had revealed Himself through the writings of Moses and through the prophets. God had revealed Himself to those three men that they would know Him and have confidence as they approached the fiery furnace. We must know God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. We must know His holiness, His mercy, His power, His faithfulness. We must know God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the exact representation of the invisible God. When we look at Jesus, when we study Jesus, we are getting a picture of what God the Father is, because the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus says, He who has seen me has seen the Father, for the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. So a mirror reflects the face of the one that looks into it. So as we look into Christ, as we gain knowledge of Christ, we come to know who God the Father is. We see the power of God in the miracles of Christ. We see the holiness of God as Jesus leads a sinless life. We see the love of God in Christ giving His life for sinners. We see the care of God for His people in Christ feeding the multitudes. To know God then is to possess His self-revelation as it is found in the Scriptures. And to know God as He is revealed in the Scriptures is absolutely necessary in order to walk the path of faith. But it is not just simply an academic knowledge of who God is. It is not simply being able to repeat certain phrases like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Those things are good. They contain knowledge about God, knowledge about Christ. But knowledge is not enough. To have no other gods before us, we must put Jesus Christ first in every aspect of our life. The psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. In making decisions about business or school or parenting or grandparenting, you put Christ before you. What can I learn about Christ in this situation that I may be able to make a good decision that is pleasing to Christ? Again, the psalmist says, my eyes are ever on the Lord. Basically, what's your priority? What's your priority in life? Is seeking God the top priority for you? Living in a glass house would be difficult, wouldn't it? There would be some things that we would do and some things that we wouldn't do if we lived in a glass house. Well, we live in a glass house before God. What we think, what we say, what we do, what our priorities are, He knows. He sees. He understands. We live our life, whether we like it or not, we live our life each day, each moment before Him. Suppose you were to curse a deaf man. He couldn't hear you. So therefore you may think, I'm not guilty of it. He doesn't know. He can't hear. But God knows. God hears. Suppose you were to lay a chair in a blind man's way and he stumbles over it and he falls. You may think that because he didn't see it, that therefore I can wash my hands from it. God knows. God sees. I remember when my oldest son, who is now 19 years old, when he was probably about 3, he came up to me one day and he said, Daddy, there's something I want to know. I said, what is it, son? He said, when we get to heaven, are you still going to have those eyes in the back of your head? And I said, no, son, I won't need them then. But God sees everything we do. He knows the motivations of our heart. We cannot hide anything from God. Thus, to fear God is to forsake sin. Even sin that others can't see us do or hear that we do. And to love God will make us do God's will, both that which is seen and that which is heard. Such was the case with Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. When Joseph was tempted with sin, though no one could see or hear, Joseph had such a love and fear of God because he put God first priority in his life. He said, how can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph didn't fear what Potiphar's wife could do. Instead, he feared God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not worship the false gods because they feared their God over the king's command. O king, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They feared God. They knew things about God that had been revealed to them through the writings of Moses and through the prophets. And their own heart was tuned to see, to sing the grace of God to them. And so no matter what the king ordered them to do, they're not going to do it because priority in their life was to fear God and to love Him. Lastly, to have no other gods before you, you must trust God. You must trust the revelation of God in the Scriptures. The psalmist says, "My eyes are fixed upon you, O sovereign Lord, in you do I trust." 2 Samuel, "My God is my rock, in Him I will trust." See, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we can discern if we are walking the broad path or the narrow path. This is where we can discern if we're following Christ and seeking to have no other gods before us. Do we trust Jesus Christ? Once again, let us be reminded of the story of the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were faithful to God. They refused to worship any other god but the true God. They were threatened with death, but they put God first. And by putting God first, they trusted. They entrusted their lives into the hands of God. They said, "If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to rescue us from your hands." See, there's knowledge there about God. They knew that God could do that. "But even if He does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." They had knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God led them, guided them to trust. To trust what Moses and the prophets had written about God. It led them to trust the Scriptures. The psalmist again says, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" The three young men, they trusted God. They trusted God. They did not fear the king. They did not fear the threats. And then even the king himself recognized that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted their God when he says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their God." They trusted in him and were willing to give up even their lives. Each day has necessities. And in some of those days of necessity, there are uncertainties. There's the pains of a broken heart. There are financial worries. There are worries about your children and grandchildren. The psalmist says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." In those days of uncertainty, more so even when things are going great, but in the days of uncertainties, we need to find our rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We need to trust what the Scriptures have to say about Him. Believe on the Scriptures. He is our rock. He is our strength. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. Look at the results of the lives of these three young men. Christ didn't deliver them from going into the fire, but He delivered them in the midst of the fire. They trusted. They trusted. They trusted God's Word. And as we trust God's Word, we are demonstrating that we are serving no other God but our God. We are not putting any other God as priority. We are putting our God as priority. We are trusting in God and relying upon His mercy and love in Christ to deliver us from sin, from trouble, from famine, from hell. When we trust in God, we commit our lives and the lives of our families into His hands for safekeeping. As Jesus died on the cross, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." He is doing commandment number one. He is fulfilling it for us. He is trusting in what God the Father has revealed to Him about Him. "This is my Son, in whom I love. In Him I am well pleased." So Jesus is trusting the Word of God from beginning to end. He trusts the revelation of God in the Scriptures. And by doing so, He practices perfectly, sinlessly, putting no other gods before His God. Will you trust the Father as Christ did? Can you commit your life, your soul, your family into the hands of the Father for safekeeping? When all of our earthly comforts are gone, when all of our friends have deserted us, when we have no nourishment except our tears, will you trust Him then? For that providence in your life, will you put no other gods before Him in those difficult times? Jesus says our Christian life is like walking a narrow road. There's a broad path that many go down, but the narrow road, only a few find it. Those who find it, they find it because they're trusting in God's Word. And they're seeking to put no one else, no other God before them except the God of the Scriptures. Can you trust God in the midst of fear? Will you seek to have no other gods before you except the one true God, Jesus Christ? To trust in God is to demonstrate that He is your God and that you're seeking to put no one else before Him. Let's pray. Our gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work of Christ. Heavenly Father, we realize our weakness, our sinfulness, because we put other things before You. But we thank You for Jesus Christ, who perfectly served You and loved You with all of His heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Oh, Father God, work in us the very power of Christ, that we would repent of our idolatries, and that we too would seek to love You. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close our worship this morning as we stand and sing a hymn of response. Hymn number 705. I Know Whom I Have Believed.